This is episode 144 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel, the second best player in the house, Manzano.
Hey. Second best is still... Wait, there's only two people in this house.
That's right. Okay. Will, new beard, who dis, Hagwood.
How's it going, everybody?
Look at that. Look at that beard. Trimmed up.
It's looking nice.
I think you look great, man.
Thank you.
Ryan, I'm the T.O. Stan Azuski.
I am the Senate.
That's right. That's right. So we're pretty much jumping right into it today. We have two topics. We're going to be talking about store championships, how things either have gone, or just some kind of like quick touches on our plans for store championships coming up. And then we're going to talk about gaming on a budget. We're going to be doing a couple of these over the next couple months at different price points, and just kind of have that discussion on getting either yourself or a friend into the game, because it is a topic that comes up all the time, and I figured we put in our experience and our thoughts into that pool. So let's go ahead and start with the store championships. How have we been doing? I think Marcel and I are the only ones who have played in a store championship so far, and Will and Ryan have some coming up. Am I right about that, guys?
Yeah, I got a couple coming up locally.
Yep, and as per the little nickname from the beginning, I'm helping run one this Saturday.
Fantastic. So, Marcel, we'll go ahead and start with you. How has your store championship season been going?
So for me. Better for other people in this home.
Right.
Yeah, so far I've made it to two. I made it to Springfield, Titan Games, and then last week where you were there, made it to Game Storm. And I barely squeaked in number eight to the top eight in Springfield, and then lost to Matt Carey. Flew four Jump Masters there. I enjoyed playing the four Jump Masters. I still do. They just, honestly, if you're going to play them in a serious environment, they're just going to get outgunned by certain matchups, especially, you know, like Boba Fett just loves them because he gets range. He can be anywhere in the board and he's getting two rerolls anyway. Those things take up so much space. And then at Game Storm yesterday, I flew Fen Rao, Telchavura, and Numlum. Telchavura kitted out with Torpedoes, Darth Maul, and other stuff. That was a lot of fun, actually. I think that's a much more competitive list. Went 3-2 there, missed the cut. And really, really enjoyed that list a whole lot more. I think the thing that I was most excited about yesterday is that Kayla went 4-1, and then she won the top 8, top 4, and then made it to the final.
Woo! Go, yeah, Kayla! Yeah.
Gold Squadron Kayla! And, she was flying her 5A wings, and she made it to the final. And it was her against Jeremy Tradd, and then very close match. And she missed a bomb drop. She didn't realize that a bomb had dropped, because he brought seismics instead of protons, so he placed it, you know, backwards, so it doesn't show the seismic side of it, but it's black on black, and then she literally just didn't see it and blew her up. So that happened, but anyway, very excited she made it to the final on that one. And I think overall, like, my biggest note so far for the store championship season, only two games in. Mind you, it's two games in, then we have Adepticon coming up next month. Or is it this month? Next month?
This soon?
Month now, right? Yeah, soon, in a few weeks. Is that all league, all small tournaments, all games have been hyperspace, so it feels like it's been consumed with the same ships over and over and over and over again. And I know out of the last 10 matches that I've played in the two store championships, like seven or eight of those were against Boba Fett. So I'm just, no, actually it was seven Boba Fett, two First Order and One Republic. So I'm getting pretty like tired of seeing Boba Fett on the other side. Hopefully that, yeah, I don't know. I'm just kidding. I haven't even seen Separatists. Like, I want to fly against Separatists. I know Separatists are really good. So hopefully this coming week at Fair Game, I get to fly against Separatists or something other than Boba Fett. But yeah, that's the journey. Still looking for a list. Still, Fen Rao and two votes is solid. I think I can win with it, but it's definitely an uphill climb. It doesn't have the consistency as Boba or the droids, really.
Cool. All right. So, oops. Wrong button. I hit the wrong button. There we go. All right. As for myself, I've only played in one store championship. It was the one that happened this weekend, and I made it to the top eight. Lost a really close match that I was really in control of for almost the entire match until the very end. Actually, what I did, and we talked about it last week, I didn't stream it, but I recorded myself, you know, talking like before the event, kind of my thought process. I took a couple videos during the event, kind of just like my mindset, where was I, and I also recorded all of the games, and I'm going to be putting that all together in a package to just kind of present to people who maybe have never been to a tournament or just kind of want to see, you know, a first person view from my point of view on a tournament and what happened. And in that video, I'll talk about, like, I brought Boba Fett Fenn, and I know some of you might be thinking that's not very creative. It's like, well, let's you know, we talked about the criteria being successful and all that, and I'm in the boat that most of the time during league night, I'm just flying shenanigans to like bring different lists for you guys for you know, for the stream and stuff like that. So I needed to bring something if I wanted to win the event, which was my goal or my hope going in. I had to bring a list that I knew was good, and I had practiced it a little bit. So I did, was able to get top eight, and was really happy with that. Little upset at the loss, the way it happened, which you guys will get to see in the recording. And it was a lot of fun. My only loss in Swiss was to Kayla. She made the final, so that felt good. Yeah.
Her win is my win.
That's right.
Mi casa. What belongs to you belongs to me. So that's, I got true. Myself, you're a very cool, nice little First Order dice damage deck.
Yeah.
Yay to me. I won.
And honestly, I was really just hunting for that cardboard, and I got it. So, worked out. But yeah, those are my notes for right now. So, you know, we're not going to do a full battle report or anything like that. Ryan, what's on your docket?
So this weekend at Eternal Games in Warren, Michigan, we are having our store championship. Expecting a solid turnout. So far, we only know of, and I think this is set, only three store championships in Michigan, unless there's one maybe more on the west side. This is the first one. Hoping for a good turnout. I did this last time, and I think it was overall pretty successful. I'm not playing. I am TO judge, but for anyone that has a bye, they could play a friendly game with me so they don't feel like they're losing out on one of the games that they could have played throughout the day. But if there's any judge calls, like, I don't care about playing game, I go take care of that, come back. They still get their bye for points reasonings, but they don't have to lose out on playing. So everyone was pretty appreciative when I did it last time, so I'm going to do it this time as well. And should have a lot of good prize support for sure. I'm going to give the call out to the community that's planning on going to see what kind of judge questions they have. So I hopefully can take care of those before the event and not have my brain explode the day of. Be as prepared as possible.
Oh, always, always a nice thing. All right. What about you, Will?
Let's see. So this Saturday, I'm heading up to Dubuque, Iowa. To Comic World, they're having a store championship there. Dubuque's got a pretty good community. That's where we did the turkey shoot.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys remember that. So I was interested to see what we'll see up there. They're normally pretty competitive. Then let's see. So then after that, the Quad Cities. Davenport is holding it at Games Plus One, and that's Sunday on the 15th. So back-to-back weekends for basically all of Eastern Iowa.
Got to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Now, Will, do you know what list you're going to fly going into it? You don't got to spoil anything.
Oh,
but like, do you think?
No, I don't care about spoiling anything because I don't really know. but. Honestly, I've been flying this three fangs and tractor beams list for a while, and man, when it wins super good, and it's just got all the things. I'm really like the fangs. I'm not used to boost linked actions. Mm. It's pretty good.
It is.
Can confirm. A wings good boost.
Yeah, boost is pretty good. So that's pretty interesting. It's like a pseudo swarm, like five or six. So, I might take that. That sounds pretty good.
Nice. Yeah. There was a hyperspace list that I only tried one time. And I think if I had had more time to practice it, I probably would have taken it to a store championship. And it was three M3As with Fen and, a Zealot, I think it might've been in there. But, okay. But yeah, just like fangs plus tractor beams equal really good.
Yeah, it's about as scummy it gets, but it's pretty good, actually. Yeah,
I'm a fan. All right, so that's how things are going on the store championship front for us. Hopefully you guys are having a great time in your store championships. I know we are. So we're going to go ahead and hit our main topic for today, and that is gaming on a budget. That is whether you're getting yourself or someone else into it and how we're going to do it. So I have to set the rules first so you guys kind of understand the parameters that I gave the gentleman here as well as ourselves. And they're pretty common things that I think would be fair. Now, you can, of course, always find exceptions in that, but let me go ahead and just start by reading down the rules. That we're doing here, and I'm totally stalling because I lost my spot in the notes. There it is. So here are the rules. So first, we're going to be using the full retail price of ships. This is because it reflects what most friendly local game stores, the prices of their ships. Now, yes, sometimes they have discounts for new players. Sometimes they do pre-order discounts. We understand all that. That's just extra money in your pocket for other stuff. That's awesome. Okay. We totally understand there's some people that have to buy online because they don't have a local game store and buy them. That's fine too. No shame. We're just trying to get people into the X-Wing. And if you can support a local friendly game store, then fantastic. So, of course, in your purchase, in our budget, we need to make sure that the person, this imaginary person that we're trying to set up, has all the required components to play. This does not include a playmat. Because you just need a 3x3 surface, and if you get a measuring tape and some masking tape on a table, that's good enough to play. And some people just play on their kitchen table anyway, and that's fine too to get started. We need to have enough ships to field one at least semi-competitive squad in the faction that we're choosing. And yes, we're going to go ahead and get this person, each of these persons, set up with a single faction because it is the most budget-friendly thing to go. But also, I also added the requirement that for each of the people that we set up, they need to also have enough ships to be able to build a second squad, maybe not necessarily against that first squad, but be able to build two squads out of the things that they have so that they can play so that they can play with someone else at the same time with the things that they bought.
I almost did.
Doesn't count though.
That's how you get better. That's how you get better.
That's right.
Makes perfect.
That's right. I hit all the things. Our budget for this build today, I would consider a middle to high budget. Of course, everybody's situation is a little bit different, but we're setting the price at $250. So this is before tax or shipping, okay? So $250 retail, again, that's like middle to high. I know that FFG used to publish this these articles was like $101. They were being cute, but we're gonna start set it at $250. We're also later on gonna lower that price to what we consider like the bare minimum. We're gonna kind of try to find where that is for each of the factions, and then later on we'll also just go like, you know, somebody who's like, hey, I'm ready to blow, you know, as much cash as I want on the game. So we'll do that as well. We it's fun to spend imaginary money, right? So this is what we're doing today. So Will, we're gonna go ahead and start with you. I assigned you the Resistance, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right there, sir?
Oh yeah, the Resistance.
All right, so let me go ahead and pull up your chart here. Yeah, that's good enough. And
zoom in, enhance.
All right. There we go. Resistance. So go ahead, tell us what are we buying and why.
All right. So first off, I'm starting with generic core set. Gotta have it. I think it's a valuable purchase. It does give you an X-Wing and a TIE Fighter. So if you do want to do like smaller one-on-ones, that's perfect. I think it includes everything except for the second dice pack they see at the bottom here, because we're going to be rolling four dice attacks on our T-70 X-Wings. No, they're X-Wings in Resistance. All right, they can be T-70 X-Wings. That's where we're going to start. It's actually three second edition T-70 expansions. They're $20 a piece, and then at the beginning of your Resistance career, they're going to be the backbone of each of your list. It's really, each time you make a list, it's going to be, how many X-Wings am I going to bring? In addition to that, I want to add some variety. So the A-Wing provides that high agility maneuverability. I really like them, buying two of them for $20 a piece. RZA-2 A-Wings. And then there's two other expansions available, the Transport and the Fireball. I'm picking up one each of those. The Transport is a great deal. It's $30 compared to the regular $20, but you actually get two ships out of it. So I think that's pretty good value. And the Fireball is just fun, so I would always at least pick up at least one. Now, I am recommending, because I even with these purchases, we still got that's just under $200 for all of that. So I'm spending the last 50 on a Resistance conversion kit to make sure you have plenty of heroics and some of the some of the more generic astromechs. And a couple other weapons and things you can get out of the Resistance pack. Then I'm also buying the new Hotshots and Aces for the new A-Wing pilots and some of the new weaponry as well. Those X-Wings have hardpoints, so it's really fun to have a large variety of weapons to put on them for each situation.
All right, Will. So let's go ahead and talk about the lists that we're going to bring now. So what's going to be like the person's competitive list that they're bringing with their purchases?
I don't know if this is competitive. I think a version of this might be. But I'm bringing Poe and A-Wings. And then this one happens to have a filler ship in the Resistance transport, or the Resistance pod, rather. And you got pulled up on the screen. You do. This is, I like being thematic. So we got Poe Dameron and BB-8 flying around. So they're not on the same ship, though, flying two different ones. Poe Dameron's got Outmaneuver, R4 Astromech that you get out of the conversion kit, and then S-Foes and Black One. Very fast, double actions, and can put out a lot of damage if he gets behind you. Oh, wait, do I have a 9-point bid in this list?
Nope, you're at 200.
Do I have plasma torpedoes then?
Yeah, you have plasmas on Poe.
Yeah, that's another item you get out of the Hotshots is the new plasma torpedoes, and that's very powerful. Gives Poe a long-range weapon. He always gets normally focused in target lock, so it's easy for him to shoot. And he's going to be your main guy in this list. He's got two A-Wing escorts. That's Tali and ZZ, the new one out of Hotshots. And they both have heroic and optics. The things you should bring on your A-Wings. And like I said about the pod, it's BB-8. He's a nice blocker piece, and he's just fills out the list with heroic as well to try to keep him alive. I don't know if it's exactly competitive, but I think
I don't think it's bad, honestly. Having the plasma torps in there, especially with all the Boba Fett rolling around, I will tell you
that's what
foreshadowing. Yeah. Boba Fett don't like plasma torpedoes.
No. He also, if Poe can, because Poe's going to move after Boba Fett, obviously. You can get that double reposition in, and then if you can get outmaneuver, he's only rolling one dice then. Pretty nice.
All right, and what about that second squad with being able to play with some of your other pieces with somebody else?
All right, so now if you are playing them together, you do have to seahorse the transport.
Can we do a timeout for that real quick? Sure. All right, I need to put on a public service announcement. Okay. Really quickly, okay?
About seahorses?
Yes, okay. So technically, according to the rules, you can't seahorse, meaning fly the transport without the pod attached in order to have the transport. Let me tell you, I'm being real. If you were a TO or a player and you're going to complain about that, you're kind of being a jerk. Like, it's not a big deal. I'm sorry. Like, I think it's, when I see people get like up in arms about it, I just roll my eyes. I roll my eyes going, okay, sure. Like it's not a problem for me. Like, I have four of them because the stream, right? Got to do it. But come on. Don't be that person. Don't.
I agree. Over on fun. We are here fun. For fun.
Play the game.
Seahorses are allowed.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Will. I just needed a soapbox second because
I didn't realize it was such a touchy subject.
It's oh my god, people get so triggered about it. They're like, no, you got to fly the transport with the pod, otherwise it's illegal.
If the pod didn't fall off the transport, I would fly it like that. But I'm just...
it does. It's like when it's first on there, it's on there good. But as soon as you take it off to start using it, it doesn't stay well.
No, anyway, so like I said, if you fly them together, you gotta seahorse them. But all right, they're
new in our simulation. They're new, so it's fine.
That is true. They're brand new. Anyways, sorry, we're talking about my second list.
Yes.
Okay. So this is I decided two X-wings. And I brought in blues because they're great filler ships. 42.7 health. They won't die if they're shot at for the most part, or at least they won't die right away. So that's going to be our kind of filler and to get some red dice out on the board. Then this is actually where we're having fun. I want to start with Coven now, which is the one that likes doing red maneuvers, the transport. It's got heroic tractor beam for when they're not doing red maneuvers, Leia Organa, and R4 Astromech. Now, Leia obviously synergizes with Kova, tractor beaming, so the I-1 blues have a good shot. That's all fun. But when you use Leia with the fireball, things get interesting. This is a loaded down Kaz, by the way. 54 points. Kaz has heroic, bucket, R1, J5, coaxium, advanced slam, and Kaz's fireball. So you can do some funny stuff like start coordinating the repair actions on Kaz. You can turn his four forwards and hard threes and talon rolls into white maneuvers with Leia. And then you can slam you in talon roll and then three bank slam. Which is crazy. And it's just a lot of fun. Now, I will say that if I had a third list in here, right, as an overall option, maybe the real competitive list in this is honestly just going to be three X-Wings plus something. I think that something could honestly be anything. An A-Wing, Transport, Fireball, or just three X-Wings, really.
Cool. All right, so that's our resistance breakdown. You've spent 248 out of your 250 budget. Very nice, very nice. Didn't go over the budget. It's always good. All right, Will, let's go on. You had, what did I assign you? Scum, yes. Scum.
Do you mean Ryan?
Oh, sorry, yeah, that... you, the other guy with the beard, sorry.
Sure. All right, so this route, I had the mindset of, all right, this player, they are diehard scum. That's all they want to get into the game for. They don't want to touch any other faction right now. They don't want to think about it. So, this is going off no core set. We're buying two dice packs, because got to have 4 to 5 of each, potentially. Got some serious punchers in scum. We're going big acrylic with Curl Paw Creative's acrylic maneuver template set. Choose whatever color you want. Have fun. Make it that green scum if you want. Next is the soon to come out, hopefully, the Scum and Villainy Damage Deck. And the Never Tell Me the Odds Obstacle Pack to make sure you have a variety of the obstacles. It's not technically all of them, but neither is the core set. So plus there's some environment cards to have some fun games and interactive stuff in there too. And then for the actual ships, you have Slave 1, 2 Fang Fighters, a Punishing One, a Houndstooth, a Seek, and a Mining Guild Tie. That's kind of like a one of everything effect, except the Fangs, which we have 2 of. If they want, they could just swap out the Seek or the Mining Guild for Hotshots and Aces. But this is with Scum only in mind, totaling at 247.71.
Nice. So, all right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Hyperspace, I don't know if you want to pull up the hyperspace list. Yep. This is competitive in mind. So one big thing about not having the Hotshots Aces is we don't have access to Maul Crew. So for that purpose, we have decided to go with 000 for cheaper on Boba. Fearless, Seismic Charges, Contraband, Cybernetics, and Slave 1 with 2 Fearless Skulls. I think for a newer player that's looking to be competitive, you're trying to keep it simple with the skulls. Boba's got tricks and triggers, but it seems very themey with the Seismic Charges. Fearless, you know, just running in, getting gunning in. The only thing that's quote-unquote not themey is 000. Doesn't ever show up that I'm aware of with Boba, unless I missed a comic issue or something.
we'll make it legal.
I know where he's originated from. I just don't know if they ever met that way. So yeah, just 2 Fangs, both really cool ships because they have the rotating opposable wings, which is really cool for a new player to get experience with and just have as a model. And then for the more fun list, you know, people love the name Pilots of Scum. They're here for the bounty hunters. They're just the really cool pilots they've saw in movies or shows. So this is where we go with Dengar, R5P8 Punishing One and Contraband Cybernetics, Bossk with Greedo Gunner, and Fenrau with Fearless, just punching really, really hard.
Nice. All right. Next faction, we have Marcel with the First Order. Let's go ahead and go to your chart. There you go.
First Order is the best order.
All right, what are we spending our imaginary money on?
All right, we're spending somebody else's money on.
That's right.
So let's start off with the core set. So yeah, just to get all your required materials, your dice, and for right here on the screen, what you're seeing is like the green one is one list. That's your your competitive-ish list, which comes in under $100 with the core set. So it's basically just the core set, 2 silencers, and the new Von Reg VA or TIE Interceptor Birmingham, Alabama. I don't know what it stands for. What does it stand for?
It's a TIE Baron.
So BA means Baron?
Baron, yeah.
Why don't they just say the TIE B? My BA.
I just work here, man. Don't ask me questions.
The Thai B might already be taken up by the Thai bomb. No, Thai bomber, I think, is Thai SA. This is a solid tangent, by the way.
Yeah. All right. Consistency. FFG consistency. All right. Anyway, so yeah. So the Corset silencer, two silencers, and a Thai BA comes in at $99. Well, just under $100 before taxes. And then for the second list that you're going to take to an extended tournament or play against if somebody's at home with you, it's going to start off with the First Order Conversion Kit, which right there you can see it gives you the enough components for 7 TIE FOs, 5 TIE SFs, 3 silencers, and 3 Upsilon shuttles. Now, the reason I went with the conversion kit is because a couple of these aren't available in 2.0 yet, and also the first edition sets, even at retail, are $14.95, where the new ones are $19.95, so you're going to save a couple bucks there every time you buy. So, for example, if you get the 7 TIE FOs or you go for the FOCHO, 8 times 5, you're going to save $40 just in the cost of the ships itself. Plus, you can go on eBay or anywhere else, people trying to just download ships because you already have all the components, you just need the models. So you can get models anywhere, or if you're the kind to, like myself, to like painted ships and go to Luke Carrington and order a commission from Luke Carrington, you don't have to buy all the components, you just need the painted model, and then you just the conversion kit. So that's 1 Upsilon shuttle, 2 TIE SFs, and 1 TIE FO for this first list. All together comes in at $215, but in reality, since it's first edition stuff, you probably get a deal because most friendly local stores are selling the first edition stuff at a discount.
Right. So I will say that some game stores, though, have wised up and they realize, wait a second, they're not printing these ships right now, and people are still buying them and keeping them at that same price. So it's you have to say it's dependent on the place.
It's depending on the place, and it's also dependent on whether that ship was released in 2.0 again or not.
Right.
Yeah. So, but again, usually if people are unloading stuff, or if you go to tournaments like Campaign Against Cancer, where you get painted ships and other things, it's better to already have the components ready. So I'm a big fan for all of the factions having the conversion sets, just to have those extra components laying around. Plus, it comes with stuff that doesn't really come in other, you know, some of the upgrades.
Makes sense. All right. So what are the lists you're building?
All right, so the first list is a hyperspace competitive list. I think it's, and I put competitive assuming that, I know it's for newer players, but it does require some skill to play because it's a list that can be a little, if you don't fly it right, it can melt pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But it's Kylo with a proton torpedo. It is Major Von Reg. Flying, he's skinny dipping. He is not wearing any clothes. And with the other silencer, just initiative one again, not it. This whole list only has one upgrade, and that's that proton torpedo on Kylo. Now you can go like Papa Trad, Jeremy Trad's dad. You can go and throw the instinctive aim on Kylo as well to get 198. It does come in this pack, and in case you're flying against like a Fenrau or something, and he happens to be at range 3, so you can target lock him. Just say, okay, I'll spend 1 of my force, and now I'm going to shoot 4 against 3, and hopefully sneak crit in there. This list isn't really vying for any initiative, you know, with that 197 to 198. 197 really doesn't make any difference with initiative 5s at this point. You're not going to be Boba Fett with it. I mean, the bid-wise.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the competitive list. 2 TIE silencers, initiative 6, and a heavy-hitting Kylo.
All right, and what about your second list?
And for my second list, it's an extended list that takes advantage of some of the other ships, lets you play around with some of the other ships that you bought. Also, another thing that was on that list is I tried to buy, because First Order is one of the smaller factions, I tried to buy everything that was on First Order. I'd like buy one of every ship and put mm-hmm. one of every ship to use. So the first one is Lieutenant Tabson with the bio
hexacrypt codes.
Thank you. And two TISFs. One of them is quick draw. I'm trying to look. Oh yeah, one of them is quick draw with Fanatical Special Forces and Fire Control System. It's kind of a staple on an extended first order list. And the other one is Backdraft, which is just Fanatical. I think Backdraft, you get a really good, you get a lot of good efficiency out of Backdraft because he comes in, probably takes some damage on the way in, but on the way out, if they went at him, his Fanatical kicks in and then he's throwing three dice out of the back and closing it out with Scorch, which I think is the best and the best priced TIE FO in the game with Fanatical. Again, just nice and solid.
This feels good.
Yeah, it's got covers most angles and hits hard and lives long and prospers.
All right, so we're going to move on to the Rebellion now, and I will admit that this one was not super hard, but still needs to be said. And we'll go ahead and do it. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to get a core set because for all the reasons, as well as there are a couple of pilots for the X-Wing that don't exist in the conversion kit. I actually found that really interesting. So you just want to make sure you have a couple extra copies of, for instance, like Luke Skywalker is a great example. All right, so we're getting a core set. We got an X-Wing model there. Then we're going to go ahead and we're going to buy four other T-65 X-Wings, okay? You probably know what list is coming there, but it's very obvious. We're going to get a YT-1300. It opens you up to being able to fly Han Solo, which is the big one, but also Lando is really good. And then we have an A-Wing. In order to get a little bit of variety in there, you guys know that Arvel and Jake are both really, really good and popular. And then we're going to go ahead and grab a couple B-Wings because we know that B-Wings are really solid. Then in order to enhance those B-Wings and open up some of the possibilities for upgrades, we're also going to get the Hot Shots and Aces pack. It gives us a new B-Wing pilot. It gives us those configurations, the S-Foils for the B-Wings, and a new pilot for the YT-1300 as well. And we're getting a dice pack in order to get that six of each color because we know now in the rule book that you can't roll more than six of either dice. So as long as you have six of each and you don't lose any, you have all the dice you will ever need in the game. It comes out to $248. As for the squadrons I built, the competitive one is basic, but you know it's interesting. This very basic 5 X-wings, 5 blue squadron escorts with servo motor S foils is a fantastic list, and it is for at least a start. A very simple list that can do some real damage. You don't have to have a lot of skill to do some real damage to somebody. Now, in order to take it to the next level, you're going to have to understand, making nets and kill boxes for higher initiatives. That's fine. But handing a player this gives them practice into just the basics of the game. Move ship, take action. Move ship, take action. Shoot stuff. And you're just kind of doing that cycle over and over again. Very easy and competitive list. Now, do we think that 5 X-Wings will stay points-wise legal for very long? We don't know. They haven't, like, they've done well, but they haven't, you know, really shaken the world the way, like, Boba Fett has. So we'll have to wait and see for that over time. For the second list, I actually think it's pretty competitive as well that you could have a buddy play with you. And we're going to go ahead and grab both of the most popular B-Wings and strongest ones. That's Ten Nub and Braylon Strom. Now, this is considered an extended list because I believe it is. Is it Braylon that's not hyperspace legal? I think. Am I right about that?
No, they're all legal.
Oh, they're all legal.
No, yeah.
What? X-Wings that are limited in hyperspace.
It's the X-Wing. Sorry. There you go. So you got both B-Wings, and this is still hyperspace legal. Sorry, guys. I got confused there for a second. And we're going to go ahead and take the Ion Cannon with the stabilized S-Foils there, giving you that opportunity to go ahead and do the double tap if it suits you in that situation. And we're going to go ahead and take Lando Calrissian in the YT-1300 with Nia Numb. And basically, with the B-Wings, they're self-sufficient double-action machines, as well as Lando using his ability in himself, and you have some opportunities where you can set up some, focus, target lock, and stress mechanic for 10 nub, or being able to, get an evade out there, or, you have options for those B-Wings using Lando's ability. And this is an archetype that we've seen do well, especially early in second edition, but I still think it has some legs out there. So this is, within our budget. Now, guys, I have a curveball for you, and I purposely didn't put it in the notes because I'd love to see your reaction, okay? Because I'm going to give you guys like a minute to decide.
I can't do it because I got this thing, but like Home Alone,
Oh my God! Plot twists. Okay, so
I keep hitting this microphone.
So here's the plot twist. This new player has gone to their local friendly game store. They've decided, all right, these are the things I want to buy. I listen to Ghost Squadron and I'm getting these things. They get up to the counter and they say, "Oh, you're a new player? Actually, we're going to give you 15% off of your whole order. We're just going to give you that 15% off. Thank you so much for shopping for us." That person has $40 extra in their pocket right now that they can spend either in that moment or on home online on another, like whether it be some type of accessories or something for X-Wing. What are you getting? Will, what are you adding to your kit?
I was quick trying to search.
$40. Spend it.
How much are the Falcons? What's the cheapest Falcon I can get?
I think it's $40.
I'm buying that cheapest Falcon because my list already had the conversion kit. Didn't say it, but it was primed and ready for expansion into the Falcon and the bomber.
Boom, got it. All right, Will. I'm sorry. Dang, I just did Will. I'm so tired. Ryan.
Other Will.
Ryan.
Well, since I was waffling between having the option to be able to have an M3A and Mining Guild, and then like if you want to replace a Hotshot and Aces, well, now we're going to get the Hotshots and Aces pack anyway, which will allow us to use things like Nom Lom, and we'll have Maul now. And with the 20 extra bucks, pick your favorite ship that's not re-released yet, and you probably find it cheap enough with $20 or less. You might be able to get two of them. Like we said, other people selling them for much cheaper now.
All right, Marcel.
Because I am a special cookie and I don't like following rules, but I am going to follow.
Well, you also had space in your budget still,
but
right?
I'm following the budget. So with an extra $40, I was at 215. That's why I had 35. Plus another 40 is 75 exactly. So with that $75, I'm going to go to Etsy, to Modest Orange Gaming, and buy their tournament kit. I love it. I have it. Kayla has it. I've seen other people here in Chicago have it. It's heavy. It's like a brick, and you can like punt it like 60 yards if you can punt that far, and it'll probably not break. I'm just getting a really good tournament kit. I'm getting a really good tournament kit because once you start making it out to the tournaments, it's how you carry your stuff and how you organize your stuff is going to be it's going to be almost as important. It's going to be your second most important thing that you do other than winning games.
All right. And then for myself, we already have a bunch of ships. And it's funny, I threw this curveball and didn't actually think about it for myself beforehand, which is super solid. I think the first thing I will tell you, when I got acrylic templates, it was a game changer. Absolute game changer. It makes the game feel completely different than playing with the cardboard. I just feel like the ships move more secure. So we're going to go ahead. Those are $22 and change, I believe, on Curled Paw. And you know what? You get a discount code because you watched the GSP stream and you used it. So we're going to go ahead and call it $18, $17-ish. And then with that other $20, we're going to go ahead and... Do we want, let's see, the bomb pack doesn't really help us. I think we're going to get the obstacle pack. That probably seems the best to have some options there. That's where I'm spending my other $20. If I had more, I would do something with either a template tray or some type of box. I did like that, that idea. Big brain, Marcel. So that's how we would spend $250 in a budget to get somebody or yourself into X-Wing for those three factions. Now, you guys know how we do. We like to do our polls. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to ask you, people who are watching right now, out of those four options, which one did you like the best? All right. So did you like Will's solution for the Resistance, Marcel's solution for the First Order, Ryan's solution for Scum, or my solution for the Rebellion?
I'm betting against me because I don't win these. Ever.
Don't feel bad about hurting Dion's feelings. That happens enough already.
Everyone loves Marcel. I bet Marcel's going to win.
I want a campaign that I secretly snuck a rebel list in my Resistance faction. Because you got the core Luke and you got a Falcon, then.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, if you buy the second edition Rebel Falcon.
Well, I secretly snuck a Rebel and an Imperial, so the Dion, because we both had corsets. So corsets have a couple of those. And
yeah, $50. I did it all without a corset.
I'll give you points for that.
We need a moderator. We need to be on CNN. This feels like a debate. Okay.
Oh, that'd be a good episode of GSP if we found a good topic to like presidential debate style.
We can do it. We can figure that out. We just got to find some type of X Wing topics. Topic. Yeah. We'll figure that out.
Gamesmanship.
No, honestly, Dion Adepticon, I know more people are voting. Like at Adepticon or one of these places, we should take, you know, how we've done like different events at Worlds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do something like that, like a live streamed debate. Maybe not between us, but like between Gold podcast. Squadron.
It would be a podcast debate.
Yeah. Or either a podcast debate
Can you imagine Chris Allen up on a podium?
Family feud, family feud type of thing. You know, we got to figure out who's going to be, Harvey, probably coach since OCX.
You let him run that? Digging your own grave in that one.
No.
I love Coach.
I love him too.
Speaking of old podcasters, hey Gordon in the chat.
The seahorse is your topic, somebody says in the chat. I'm pro seahorse, okay? Pro seahorse all the way. Let me put it out there. All right, guys. So as for the polls, looks like we're going to keep it over for a couple more seconds, but looks like right now we have a tie between either the Resistance or First Order.
I don't think
it's a tie if I have more percentage.
Yeah, but I saved you $50. Mine was only 100.
Are we allowed to vote ourselves?
I mean, we could.
I can help break the tie.
I'll break my own tie. Here you go. There you go.
I'm going to put it back in a tie.
Balance, that's all things should be.
Balance.
Oh, no. Will pulled ahead. 38%.
Will voted for himself.
Dion, you got your vote.
I voted for Will. I'm sorry.
No!
I like the Resistance one better.
Oh, wait. Gordon coming in late with the First Order. It's
Thank
coming
you,
down
Gordon.
The wire. Oh, here come the twos.
All right. So I think in a late flurry. Oh, never mind. It's back to.
Debate harder. This is when we need it right now. Get your votes.
That's right. Okay.
Kayla, help me.
She did. I see. She voted already.
Okay.
All right, so right on here, we're going to go ahead and just close it right now. William wins by basically a vote. All right, so the Resistance
build-out wins there. Every vote matters.
That's right.
Hey, just day before Super Tuesday.
I mean, it's thematic, right? It's thematic. Yeah.
High five for tying for third. Woo!
Yeah, woo! Yeah, we suck.
No, we don't. They just don't know our geniuses.
That's right. Well, I mean, I could understand the idea that for sure we got more variety with like the Resistance and the First Order with just like the number of ships you were able to get, and they both had really cool purchases. So, but it worked. It worked out. Mm-hmm.
You guys were definitely not wrong. Like. You guys are, I would say, correct in your choices.
I think we had an uphill battle with factions that have a lot more things available and extended, and harder to buy all of it.
Yep, that's true. All my ships are legal in hyperspace.
Like I made like a second. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I did make a second option where, like, I was like, well, we could throw in like a Saw's Renegades in there in order to like get more things in the Rebel conversion. But it was, I was like, no, that's going to be.
Dion, you probably lost some votes. Some people in the chat were like, where are my Y-Wings?
I mean, you're right. You're right. But yeah, they're not competitive
where
right
the
now.
Resistance Y-Wings.
Those aren't out yet or announced.
Or ever. Yeah.
I'm saying. Soon. There's no Y-Wings there.
I mean, we saw it in the movie, right? By the way, super tangent. You know what? One thing I'm slightly annoyed, the whole like the home release versus digital release thing that movies are starting to do.
Disney Plus release, director's cut release.
Well, it's
I've heard there's going to be a bunch of versions of this movie coming to your home TV.
I'm sure there's going to be one release where it's Colin Trevorrow's version and it's just storyboards, right? And like John Williams music in the background.
I want to see the one that Yeah, I want to see. Was that the one that the script got leaked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see the fan, you know, how they do the, like the college kids do the fan movies.
No,
I want to see the fan movie of that one.
No, thank you. I'm out.
Yeah, I want to see a 3-hour fan movie.
I've seen there's a lot of bad fan movies out there for Star Wars, a lot of bad ones.
Yeah, but
anyway.
The bad ones are good.
No. Anyway. Anyway, we're moving on. All right, so we have enough time to do a full list of the week segment. So we're going to get some more voting in right now. Oh, well, never right now. We're done. All right, so you get to cast votes again, okay? And we're going to start with me, okay? So we have four lists. This first list comes to us from Sojourner 63. Kind of sounds like an Italian person that likes spaghetti. I know when I read that, this kind of reminds me of that. So the list first, go ahead and read it. It's Rose Tico in the Resistance pod with PZ4CO, which by the way, if you guys don't remember what that upgrade is, it says at the end of the activation phase, you may choose one friendly ship at range 1 to 2. If you do, transfer one calculate token to that ship. If your revealed maneuver is blue, you may transfer one focus token instead. Then in the T-70 X-Wing, we have Jessica Pava with R5 Astromech. That is the card regen droid. And then S-Foils and Advanced Optics. We have ZZ Talo in the A-Wing with Outmaneuver, Heroic, Magpulse Missile, and Advanced Optics. And then Kaz Ziono with R1 J5, Coaxium Hyperfuel, and Kaz's Fireball.
Yeah, put it on your corner of the screen.
Oh,
so people
sorry,
can see
forgot
it.
Forgot to do that. Forgot to hit the button. Let me go ahead and hide that. All right, cool. So, yeah, and Kaz. So, and the prompt from Sojourner was, there's got to be a Resistance salad list that works in the hyperspace meta, .. Then there was some, like, breaking down of the list, which we're going to do here. So one of the things that is glaring to me right away, and that should, if you guys have been watching X-Wing Quick Tips, should have seen as well. And that is the fact that ZZ Talo cannot use outmaneuver. So, and that is because when you fire with that A-Wing, you don't have a front arc weapon. The only time you would, mind you, would be if you were firing with the mag pulse warheads. That is a front arc attack, okay? It's with the weapon. Now, my issue with that is outmaneuver is really expensive, okay? For only to be used on the mag pulse when really the A-wings don't want to be jousting. Now, I would say out of all the A-wings, the one that could joust the best is probably ZZ, but we're just going to go ahead. We're going to take outmaneuver out right away. We're going to save ourselves 8 points there. For right now, we're going to go ahead and hold on to the mag pulse warhead just because it is some cool tech and crits are bad. So if you can make it work, then that's great. I like the advanced optics. Rose here with PZ, it's okay. Being able to give Jessica some like rerolls and have, you know, some type of other token to pass off seems good, but I kind of want to try to make some more space here. I want to look at what's this card. So yeah, R1J5 says while you have two or fewer stress tokens, you can perform actions on damage cards even while stressed. So that seems solid. I think Kaz is good the way he is with Coaxium. I just kind of wish I want to. Is there any way to fit in a better ship? Because I think one of the problems with resistance, this type of resistance stay in a block list, is that it dies to Boba Fett big time. Because a lot of times they're flying in this big arc and they're moving their arcs together. And Boba Fett loves that. It's like, oh, please keep all your arcs pointed in a single direction. That way it's really easy to just slave one out of the way. So I kind of want to get away from Jess Paba if we could. Let's see, what's her base cost? Her base cost is 51. I can go up to 59. I'm gonna take some input from you guys right now. Do you think, is there a better ship that we can get in there rather than Jess Paba?
Take a look at the Hangouts chat. I think Team and Wexley is a solid option, personally. If you have enough points for 9 yeah. nub, I guess you can do that too, but you don't get the tricks with 9 nub.
Right, and not in hyperspace.
4 ship, I think, in resistance gets really weird if you... It's, I think, not as effective if you don't have the baseline of, I think, Kova, Kaz, a solid T-70 of your choice if you want to run Jess or someone else, like Bastion or Teeman Wexley. And then ZZ.
Yep.
Best A-wing you can get. So yeah. I think your foundation rocks of 4 ship resistance are Kova, Greer, or ZZ, whichever one fits in the list you want to take. Kaz, and then your choice of name T-70.
Right.
And find the best combination.
So I'm gonna go ahead and start pulling some stuff apart. So I think we're gonna lose Rose. We're gonna lose Rose. We're gonna take Kaz down to the R5. That way, we can trigger his ability on people who are undamaged, which is really nice. And that are initiative 1. Excuse me, which is super solid. And you know, you kind of were on what I was thinking here. I kind of want to see if we can fit Greer in there. Let's get rid of the mag pulse missiles. We don't need those on both of those. We have Greer, advanced optics, heroic, and now we have a couple of extra points. We have R5 over here.
You probably take R5 off Team and Wexley. I don't know if he really needs it.
He does not. He does not.
That was more of a Jess thing for her ability.
Yep. So we have R5 there, and now we have 9 points still. Man, can we go? Does that fit? Nope. So sad. Can't do it. Greer. All right. Well, then, trying to see if there's anything else here. I'm floundering, guys. All right. So we're going to go heroic. Cause...
You can go cheeky and put snapshot on ZZ. Does trigger the ability off snapshot.
It does. It does. I like the cheekiness. We can go for it. And that gives us 199. So we end with Temin, Temin instead of Jess with Heroic Advanced Optics, ZZ with Snapshot Heroic Optics, Kaz with R5 Coaxium Hyperfuel and the Kaz's Fireball, and then Greer with Heroic and Advanced Optics. I think overall, this is going to give you a lot more movement. You don't have to fly in a block. You're not worried about range-dependent abilities, and I think this is just going to give you a better overall opportunity to just have different approaches, and all the ships are fast. They're all fast. So one thing that you'll see a lot of Boba Fett players do is they take their time. They're just kind of waiting for that opportunity, and sometimes just jumping the gun on them and catching them off guard where they're, well, when they're not ready to have a Slave One opportunity, or just it's the bad time for Fenn, you could end up catching somebody. So that's with help, with friends. That's where Dione gets you for the resistance. All right, let's move on here. We're going with Scum, and I think it looks like this is Wills. So this is from Rebel Mando, and the list is a Skull Squadron with Fearless, Asajj Ventress in the Lancer, so this is going to be an extended list, with Foresight, Forlom, Contraband Cybernetics, and the Shadowcaster title, and Tarani Kolda in the Kimogila with Snapshot, Cluster Missiles, Contraband Cybernetics, and a shield upgrade. And the prompt here was, after watching League Night, he was inspired by James, this week, I got interested in that chemo fighter. I built this token stripping list to appreciate the expert eyes. I would appreciate the expert eyes on it. Will, take it away.
All right, so I'm seeing the philosophy, and I love it. Everything about Tarani makes sense. Trying to trigger that bullseye as much as you can. Asajj works because she strips tokens. She can foresight with Shadowcaster, which is hilarious. And the Skull Squadron is Initiative 4, so it can shoot at tractor-beamed enemies using Fearless to try to gain the advantage there. So I think it works. It makes sense in concept. Though I would, if I was going to keep Asajj in there, I still think that I would bump the Skull Squadron up to Old T. Now, I don't think you can bring a token stripping list without Old Tarok, right? He's stripping tokens. Asajj is giving out stress. Tarani's shooting and giving you damage. So we got to bring the Old T. Now, I know he shoots after Asajj, but we might have a solution for that later. So now we're, 7 points over right now?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to drop the shield upgrade off of Tarani. I know he's kind of the main ship in this, but it's kind of expensive on him. A one agility ship, in my opinion. So it's points to lose. And I think Snapshot and Cluster Missiles is hilarious. I am going to add on R5 TK, which I think you got to bring. R5 TK. So Tarani actually locks Old T, okay, or Asajj. And then when he shoots, he can shoot the Cluster Missiles at them. Oh, wait, no, it needs a failsafe. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You need R5 TK and failsafe to get the trigger there. And you can cancel the first attack for the cluster missile, activate Tarani's ability, shoot the second cluster missile at somebody range one of Old Tarok, and then activate his ability again. Now, you can't snapshot and cluster missiles, so you're going to have to balance those two, but I think that'll be fine.
Yeah, and didn't we have this?
Yeah, we had this discussion about whether or not that worked.
This was a discussion last week that I got disqualified for and I lost for.
Right.
Because you can't, I mean, you can snapshot and then, but you can't plus, because
only one bonus attack.
No, what I'm saying is when you shoot the first cluster missile, if you use munitions failsafe on that, you don't get the second shot.
Why?
Anymore. Because you don't.
Because you didn't do the attack didn't happen.
No, you do the attack. What you do is you cancel the dice results, which means they still have their green dice in the neutralized results step. That attack does happen.
This is the exact loadout that I had last week that we said.
No,
actually, because this was the exact same loadout that I had last week in the list of the week. And at least between Ryan, Dion, and I in the chat said that it was not legal, but I think this would be a good one to go to Chico and everyone else try to figure out, because obviously we're probably not the only ones that have this question, right?
No, I don't remember saying that's not legal. By munitions fails save rules, it just cancels all the results, which technically in a way is just like a mod. Like that's part of your modify step. That's not canceling out the complete attack.
Yeah, the next step after munitions failsafe is defender rolls dice. Assuming you're done modifying, assuming you don't add a result after you canceled them all.
Okay. Then we might have gotten it wrong. Last
I think
week,
but maybe I remember, we got it
remember,
wrong,
right? You do remember we had this exact loadout, and we said, "Oh no, that's not. You can't do that."
I'm gonna stand by it, and I believe that it does work, and it is hilarious. If you got a ship in Tirani's bullseye, it is very funny because that's actually with snapshot.
Actually, you know what? Somebody's convinced me. Somebody's convinced me here because this is a
it
great.
Wasn't me or Ryan.
No, well, I'm giving additional evidence.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Come on. Guys, we're trying to be smooth here.
All right.
So Emerald Beacon in the chat says, same principle as Fifth Brother and the homing missile attack. And I hadn't made that connection there. So I actually, I would apologize and say that, yes, it does work.
All right. Well, I want
to
explain
Let's bring it to the stream on Wednesday. We got to just do it again. Do it all over.
I will say that that on Tirani, snapshot and cluster missiles is a little redundant because you only get one bonus attack. But what it does is it sets up the triple bullseye. So you can get in engagement on a target, you get the double cluster, right? And then if a ship moves foolishly into your snapshot before that ship in your bullseye moves, they also take another Tirani ability. Which is disgusting, right? Like, that's nasty. But anyways, so wait, do I have 2 points left over now?
No, you're 4 points over. Did you want to take out snapshot?
Oh, no, I'm taking out foresight, actually.
Oh, foresight, there you go. Then now you're at 200 now.
Oh, I'm actually going to swap out Forlom. They shouldn't have tokens. So I'm going with Kira. Asajj can evade. She doesn't need a target lock. So lock the biggest rock and start flying around it. You're a large base. So I think it's beautiful. Now, I will say, I think this list is hilarious and should do a lot of work. Though I think that if... I think I still prefer Ketsu over Asajj, though, to be honest with you. I think Ketsu is better... Which is crazy to say something about Asajj even having the Force then, because the Force is so good.
So we're going down to Ketsu?
No, I think you should fly Asajj, but I'm just putting it out there that I think I still prefer Ketsu, though. What do you guys think?
Question. In this list, can you drop to Ketsu, get rid of Kira and Contraband, and fit Snapshot on Ketsu?
No, because Snapshot's 9 points. I gotta drop.
That's right. It's bigger. It's more points on a large one. Dang.
Bigger arc.
Yeah. That is funny, though. Well, then you just decide that cluster missiles is ridiculous. And you put the shield back, upgrade back on, I guess. I guess. I mean, this doesn't have all the token stripping, but I think... Asajj is still wonky. She does have the Force, though, so it's hard to say.
All right, hard to say. You're here at 200?
Yeah, I think all the versions will work. My main thing is that I think you need old T.
Yeah.
He's gonna be your secret ace, because they're going to be shooting at other things other than him. And if they are shooting at him, maybe we'll dodge a shot or two.
All right, so we have Old Tarok with Fearless, and I like the Fearless choice, keeping it on there, because a lot of times Old Tarok needs that focus for defense. You really don't want to spend it. Fearless gives you some type of mod. You have Asajj with Kira Contraband Cybernetics and the Shadowcaster title, and then Tarani Kolda in the Kimogila with Snapshot, Cluster Missiles, Contraband Cybernetics, R5TK, and Munitions Failsafe. There's our scum list. All right. Next one comes from Jasmo, and it's a new player, and it's a Rebel list. We're going to go ahead and pull that up right now. And the list is Leia Organa in the YT-1300 with Lando Calrissian crew, Chewbacca crew, hull upgrade, Millennium Falcon title. Then 265 X-Wings. Here is Jack Porkins with outmaneuver and R4 Astromech. Of course, S-foils as well. And Garvin Dreyas with outmaneuver and R4 Astromech. This is a hyperspace list that he's trying to build, because the list, the link he sent was hyperspace. And the prompt is, hello, I'm pretty new to second edition. Only have played about 5 games. There's a local hyperspace tournament in the middle of March, and I was looking to fly this list at it. I'd love some ideas on how to improve it.
All right. So, without knowing whether or not this person played any of first edition, I'm just going off of like brand new player, literally only played 5 games. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably too many upgrades that might end up going unused. If there's one thing we've seen in hyperspace, especially, it's quality of bare minimum that you can get, the better. So let's take literally every upgrade off except the S foils
on the X wings.
Yep, everything off the X wings, everything off Leia.
29 points.
Okay. So I do like one combination of pilots that they already have right here, Jack and Leia. Leia's ability combined with Jack's ability actually provides with a really good like double, like a pseudo 9-nub pattern analyzer without needing to land the range 1 in arc thing. Because Leia can say, hey, when a friendly ship at 0 to 3 executes a red maneuver, she can spend a force, and that ship can gain a focus or recovers force, so giving focus to Jack, and then Jack can use his ability to remove the stress to then take his actual action when it's gone. Might suffer damage of a 3 out of 8 chance to do it, but then he can get a focus lock, which is pretty good for a K-turn or a Talon roll. So that's good starting point. I like that. I think if we drop Garvin to a blue regular X-Wing, we now have 36 points. Now, it's kind of up to them what they want to do. If they feel comfortable, I think Jake is a great slot in at this spot right here. You can double mod Jack Porkins on the way in to the engagement, and Leia can help double mod him on the flip around. And then the solid X-Wing, the blue escort, is just there for a good piece that we already know is efficient. Granted, in the 5As mostly, but still a good piece. If they don't feel comfortable utilizing Jake's ability, you can slot in a Y-Wing with Ion Cannon turret. Just keeping it as simple as possible, utilizing just the pilots themselves as the triggers for the new player, and prioritizing bodies of quality than a bunch of upgrades. I mean, not that the upgrades are bad overall. I'm personally not a fan of outmaneuver if you have less than 4 ships. I think if you have 4 or more, a single outmaneuver can do some work. And Leia with Falcon title is good, because you got focus plus the evade. But Lando crew doesn't make too much sense. You probably just take the evade in most cases. Hull upgrade's kind of just a luxury. Same with Chewbacca crew. So I think if you strip it all down and give yourself this 4-ship Rebel, you're going to be in a lot better place, especially as a newer player.
All right. So let's go ahead and take a look at our next one here. So we end up with Leia Organa with Jack Porkins, with just the S-foils, blue with S-foils, and a gray squadron with the Ion Cannon or Jake. I like it. I like it. Alrighty, and last but certainly not the least, we have a list from Nathan84, and he specifically said, I want Marcel to work on my list. I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I won't assign somebody. You go ahead, do it yourself. So he said, I started playing X-Wing 2.0 when it came out, but for the most part, I Only make it to tournaments about every 4 months. I typically play on my kitchen counter with my same friend each week. I love the First Order, and I'm trying to find a list for store championships that are coming up. I want to use 5SFs, and I'm interested in what Marcel would change to my list. So the list is Captain Phasma with Advanced Optics, Special Forces Gunner, and Passive Sensors. And then we have 4 Zeta Squadron Survivor TIE SFs. Those are the Initiative 2s, all with Advanced Optics. Marcel, give it your holy touch.
Okay. So 2 things. One of them is, and this is very close to what I'm flying right now, which is 4 TIE SFs with Advanced Optics. And it's actually something I put in the chat a little bit earlier on. But instead of Captain Phasma at 56 points, it is with, don't change it. It is just with Hollow, who comes in at 54. And the Proud Tradition, which basically gives you that Alpha Strike instead of having Captain Phasma with Special Forces be your Alpha Strike. It's Hollow being able to target lock, focus every turn or do something like that, as well as K turn and focus. So it still gives you like that back arc ability. And then you don't, with Proud Tradition, you know, they can take a critical or they can spend a token to have you turn your focuses to red. However, because Hollow gets to toss off tokens to friendly ships, you just toss off the stress, and you never lose the Proud Tradition. You're basically a defender the entire game. But don't change it because he specifically said 5SFs, so we're going to work with 5SFs. All right, so let's start off with Captain Phasma. So Captain Phasma's ability is every time you get shot, you can pass off at range 0 to 1. You must pass off a damage, whether it's hit or crit, to a friendly target. So that's very strong, especially if that's like the heavy hitter. So let's take the Special Gunner off so we can save some points and throw Special Forces, Passive Sensors, and Advanced Optics. Let's just get... Actually, let's leave the passive sensors on. Yeah, so we're leaving the passive sensors on. And for the missile, let's switch the missile to concussion missiles. There you go. And that gives us 192.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's take that first Zeta Squadron and bump it up to the backdraft, which gives you 3 dice out of the back. All right. And really, that's the only change. you're at 199. You got 2 4s. So you got 4 4, 2 2 2. Now, one of the things that I don't like about the passive sensor concussion missile ones, even though they're really good against like Fenrau or some other AC ships, because you know you can mitigate their range 3, and they just hate criticals and they hate 3-on-3 with target locks, and it's harder to arc dodge. One of the worst things about passive sensors is that you're giving up your focus, and with the SF list, you always want to be focused because you want to be able to choose whether you're gonna spend the focus on defense or save it for the offense for that event's optics. The great thing about Captain Phasma is that as long as she's around some friendly ships, if she doesn't have a focus. So if you want to take the damage on Captain Phasma, by all means, because Captain Phasma is just going to be tossing out. Okay, you get a damage. You get a damage. Oh, I got a crit. Oh, that guy's got a shield. You get a shield. So I actually like this list a lot for that reason specifically, because you get 2 4s, and then you have a way of getting the passive sensors without the consequences of you have no good way of keeping that ship alive, because now it's not focused. It can't, you know, it becomes more squishy.
Right.
So all of them become squishy. I mean, all of them become all of them are still not as squishy because they're all focusing, with the exception of Captain Phasma, which is the one that's out there basically ace hunting. So yeah, just one one ship difference and a couple upgrades. But other than that, 5 SFs, I mean, you're dealing with, what is that, 30 health? Yeah, 15 shields, 15 hull. Can't go wrong with that.
So, curious, because of shot order, do you think Phasma might take advantage of Magpulse instead of Concussion? Set up all those Advanced Optics 2 dice with a jam deplete in everyone?
I thought about that, but the problem with Magpulse is, and let me check that if see if that is the issue that I had with it first.
I know it only has 2 charges. It's not 3 like Concussion.
Yeah, that was the main issue. It's a 2 charges, and it's also the fact that it's only given out a critical. And again, something like Fen Rao, that's great, because if you can, I would rather sneak in 1 critical than sneak in 2 regular damage against Fen Rao. But if you're facing something that has shields early on, Boba Fett, for example, initiative 4, you're shooting first. I'd rather plink those 2 shields off than that 1 critical.
Yeah, for sure. I just figured shot order, most cases with ships you're shooting against, they're probably going to have their stack of tokens if they're staying defensive, or just a focus still left over. Mm-hmm. Since Phasma's shooting first, you're more likely going to only get 1 damage through, unless you get some blocks off, obviously, right? Like, yeah. depends on the game state situation, but there's arguments for either one for sure.
Yeah, but I think for the most part, you're probably... Concussion Missile is mostly targeting like the range 2 and 3, where the shots that are coming in are also range shots. So I'd rather just use it more as an offensive tool versus a defensive tool, because this list already is you know, you got 30 hull or 30 health. So I think this list by itself isn't, the reason it's good is because it's got so much beef and it's got so much consistency that you want to take every opportunity to put out some damage when you can. So having an extra charge and being able to do 2 damage versus 1 crit might come in more handy.
All right. Well, those have been our list of the week lists, and we're going to vote here. And while we're voting, we're actually going to add another twist. Are you guys ready? Are you ready for the twist?
We're gonna need to start playing. What is that? That Twister game? Like, that's gonna be like, that's what we like, twist here, twist there.
List of the week. So we had what were our four factions here? We had
had Rebel. We had Scum. We had Resistance and First Order.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go in order. So we had Resistance, which was myself. We had Scum, which was Will. We had Rebel, which was Ryan. And then we had FO, which was Marcel. So you guys can cast your votes. Oh, yeah, that is... I did some great capitalization there. Okay. So there you go. Vote 1 is a vote for the Resistance, 2 for Scum, 3 for Rebel, 4 for FO. Which of the list of the weeks did you enjoy the most of, when it comes to changes? Not like, oh, I'm a Scum player, I'm going to go ahead and fly Scum. That's not the point of the voting. The point is, which of the changes do you think were the most effective, the smartest? Which ones really spoke to your heart? Now, the twist here, or really more the challenge that we're going to do this Wednesday, is I was actually struggling to think, like, what is something interesting we can do for our stream this Wednesday? Because we went through the new ships. We did the Fireball, and we did the TIE BA. I was like, what's something fun that we can do that maybe isn't necessarily ship or, like, pack dependent? And I was like, what if we do a list of the week? So I would bring, I would put myself into these shoes. I would bring at least 1, maybe 2 of our list of the week lists. Maybe I would bring the winning list and then another one of them, and play them on stream and see how they fare with our changes.
I'm down for that.
Does that sound like fun?
Yeah. Actually, I would fly this full one that I just did. That seems like fun. Bring your Boba Fett. Come on. Yeah, man, Mr. Van Rao. Let me see how you like a concussion missile in the face.
You'll never get it off.
Or just a lot of rear arcs.
No. Let's see if I don't. Fight me.
Oh, we will.
Dion, this could cause like chaos, panic, and anarchy, but have you ever done a chat creates the list?
No. No, not yet. Not yet. How about that? Not this week, because I'm not prepared for that. But soon. Okay.
It's like Twitch plays Pokemon, but chat creates the list.
Right. And actually, we have a couple people looking at a way to do Twitch plays X-Wing in an efficient manner. Some of our programming friends. So it's in the works right now. Just kind of the concept. But I like the idea of trying to get them to build us a list. So looks like I got a pity vote somewhere in there. Somebody, very nice, very nice. I will say the Resistance one was pretty rough with the ships we had available, and looks like we're tied there between Will and Ryan again.
I'm cursed to tie, no matter where I stand.
Alrighty. Well, as we break that down. So, which list do you think we should fly this week? I really like the scum list that was here. I think that's a cool one, the token stripper list. And Marcel, you think you want to bring that SF one?
Yeah, I mean, I already got four of them in my box. Might as well
just take a fifth out. Throw another one in.
Yeah.
And then yeah, that's that one. Okay. And what we're going to do, we're going to bring our changed versions of the list, by the way. I want to be clear. Okay, we're going to bring the evolved versions of the list. So we're going to go ahead and shut the – you know what? We'll leave the voting open until I finish the outro, okay? I'll give you guys like another minute to try to break the tie. So remember, guys, we do stream every – we got Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Echo Base is back on Sundays here on Gold Squadron Podcast. Make sure to follow, like, and if you want to, subscribe. Don't forget to hit that Twitch Prime every 30 days. If you guys are listening on the podcast app, one of the things on my to-do list is we are probably going to be switching our podcast host provider. I'm currently looking into all of the logistics for that. And that's because I'll be very frank with you. So we have a price for our plan that we had with X provider, and as we scaled, that it got really expensive compared to what other services were. So that was like, you know what, it's not a huge problem. We can afford it over time, even though we'd be, you know, spending more, but it's fine. It's not worth the trouble. But then they double charged me. So yeah, exactly. Like, they charged me early for our yearly plan and then charged me almost, it was like one and a half the amount again at the actual year. It was really strange. It was a lot of back and forth emails and confusion. And I really don't want to deal with that in my life. So probably going to be changing. I'm going to try to see if I can do it without interrupting at all, and trying to keep the back catalog. That's what I'm a little bit worried about, is if we'd be able to keep the back catalog. I want to try to make it as easy as possible for you guys. But anyway, guys, looks like the tie is not broken. So we have a tie here. Will and Ryan, you guys have ascended to the top of List of the Week. You guys will share the mountain for this week. Thank you to everybody who watched today. And
we'll be on Mustache Mountain.
There you go. That's right. Marcel, you need to roll. You need to grow a mustache.
I can't. I literally can't. I like, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps, and I was the only Marine. I was already a sergeant, and I was the only Marine that only needed to shave once a week. And when you get like daily facial hair inspections,
yeah,
that tells you something. So by the time, so now that I'm in my 40s and I can shave like I have to shave twice a week, you know, so no, I'm never gonna match the redheaded wonders that we have.
I'm just saying, like, I have a mustache. I know it's a pencil mustache, but this is just my face. By the way,
you see, mine grows out. It doesn't grow down and fancy. Yours goes this way, like yours. Mine just goes like that. You know, it's like, you know, it's like when you're watching like Beavis and Butthead or like one of those really like yucky cartoons, and they just draw like little lines in every direction to signify that's my facial hair.
What kind of mustache would that be called? This is grade A content. I know, guys.
Yeah. No. You see that I would love.
Is this you? Is that you?
What are those old like cartoons like the like hey Billy you know what I'm talking about, like
King of the Hill?
What?
Like those, like King of the Hill, Beavis and Butthead, like those really 1990s cartoons where they only draw like three just like literal straight lines to signify like, yeah, there's like something growing in a weird direction somewhere. That's me.
I'm trying to find a picture of a bad mustache. Like, all right, like this one. This is it? Like this one? Michael Cera, just kind of like,
I could probably pull that off if I brush it. Like, I gotta brush it to pull that off.
You gotta brush it to pull it off.
Yeah, or else it's like
sad.
Like, yeah.
I'm gonna stop scrolling. You don't know what Google will ever pull off.
No, you don't want. Oh, hey, Princess Bride. That's my movie.
All right. Somebody here says, I can't even grow that much. Sad. You guys want to know a fun fact? Fun fact. My choice of mustache was inspired by, like, as a kid, I was like, this is the mustache I want, and it is stuck now, by Antonio Banderas in The Mask of Zorro. That's why my mustache is this way.
We're going to have to get you a mask.
Halloween 2020.
The Mastion.
No, Adepticon 2020.
Adepticon. I'm going to have to find my contacts. All right, guys. We're going to log off for real this time.
Nice little black sombrero with like the, yeah. We got you.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could play a guitar. That's easy. All right. Gold Squadron. Hopefully you can grow a mustache if you want to, unless you don't want to. Then that's fine. You don't have to. No pressure.
Can I buy one? I can buy one.
That's cheating.
I grow the money to buy one.
Gold Squadron out.